Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the host of the program and also the pastor of Epiclesis, an Ancient Future Faith church in Sacramento, California. By the way, I'm always anxious to send people over to the website. That's epiclesis.org, E-P-I-C-L-E-S-I-S.org. You can find all kinds of information there about the church and this thing called Ancient Future Faith and how you can join us on a Sunday morning, which would be best of all. In each of these programs, I love to bring you a variety of guests to talk about this thing called Ancient Future Faith. And today, I don't have one guest, but I have two guests right here in the Ancient Future Faith studios with me. It's Pastor Ellen Kohler and Pastor Rick Ashy. They're both with us at Epiclesis. And hi, guys. Hello.
Hi, Chris.
How are you doing?
I'm so glad to have you here. This is the first time we've done a little roundtable with more than one guest on the Ancient Future Faith Network. Isn't that fun?
We're looking forward to it.
Well, I am too, because it's beginning to look a lot like Advent. We're here to talk about Advent today. And Ellen, I was just thinking about how all the stores went from, gosh, Halloween to Christmas in about 5.6 seconds. But as we all know, there's a season between autumn and Christmas. And for the church, the Christian church, going way back indeed in time, it's called Advent, right, Ellen?
It is. And one of the things that I always think is fun is that on the first Sunday of Advent, you come into the chapel and you say, Happy New Year.
Yeah.
And people look at you and they think, what is this? But Advent is actually the first season of the liturgical year.
Yeah, we get started all over again with a brand new year. Pastor Rick, you are brand new on the staff at Epiclesis. Welcome aboard, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
It is a great joy to have you on our pastoral staff. Rick is the pastor of intergenerational discipleship, and you can find some information on our website and also some podcasts that we've been talking about that kind of thing. But Rick, this season of Advent is really a season rich in opportunities for intergenerational ministry as well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There are so many different ways that you can corporately, as families, as individuals, as couples, experience the richness of Advent.
One of the hard things about Advent is waiting. And I mentioned just a minute ago, and I'll just throw this open to either of you. Since this is our first roundtable, we'll just sort of have a discussion, right? And whoever wants to just pop in. But I was thinking a moment ago when I was talking about the stores, it seems like this year especially, we went from Halloween stuff to Christmas toys and trees and sparkly lights and that kind of stuff. And one of the things that is hard about Advent is that it makes us wait. Yeah?
That's so countercultural to what our surrounding society and culture expects, is everything's going to be instant and there's not really any waiting. My kids and my grandkids have their wish lists already up on Amazon and other places, and I was just with them
for Christmas gifts?
Yes, and I was all just with them this past weekend, and it was, Grammy, come look at my wish list. And you don't really want to wait. And I think that's pretty characteristic, not just of kids, but of all of us. There aren't things that we wait expectantly and long for in our lives, but that's really what Advent's all about.
Yeah. Rick, I was thinking, in one of my previous churches, I wanted to ask you about your experience with Advent in any of the churches you've served in. But in one of my previous churches, I arrived on the scene and we started talking about how I wanted us to follow the Christian year. And at this particular church, they were accustomed to doing all of the decoration for Christmas in all one fell swoop, right? One Saturday, everybody would come in and you would go from Thanksgiving to full-blown Christmas in sort of 24 hours. And the sanctuary was all decorated, and this has been a tradition for them. Well, they weren't really happy. They weren't really happy about the notion of adding a little bit of the decoration each week as we get closer and closer to Christmas. And they really had not honestly celebrated a full season of Advent with all of the implications there before. I'm wondering about churches you've served in the past. Have you implemented Advent? How did it go? What did people think?
Yeah, it's interesting. my experience has been virtually zero. I was thinking back even to when I was younger as a child. I didn't really even know what Advent was outside of the calendar that my grandma gave me when I was, you know, a kid, that little pop open doors and stuff like that.
With the little chocolates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so for me, Advent and celebrating Advent and letting myself and my family, you know, really sink our roots down into this waiting and this preparation is very new to us, only within the last couple of years. I think only one of the churches that I was a part of did anything in an additional scripture reading and lighting a candle for the Advent wreath. But beyond that, there was no real sense of how Advent was a season and or how it shaped and formed spirituality in any way. It was really just, hey, we're headed towards Christmas right now. And so we, you know, ramping up the Christmas, songs on Sunday mornings and things like that. So.
Well, now, were you exposed to Advent when you did your doctoral degree in worship studies? Is that really when you were first exposed, at least mostly, to Advent and the theological meanings behind it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was the first kind of eye-opening, like, oh, now I understand what, you know, what this word means and what it actually is supposed to be about. And that's when I became really excited. And each year of these last handful of years, 3, 4, probably 5 years now, we have, as a family, added to and been more intentional, because my wife comes from a very similar background, virtually no sense of Advent as a part of worship or spiritual formation.
Ellen, I mentioned a minute ago that one of the things about Advent is that it forces us to wait. And you were talking about longing. Before we dive into the different weeks of Advent, and at least how we observe it at Epiclesis, what are some of the other broad themes of Advent? You mentioned longing and waiting. What else is there?
One of the most special ones to me is the idea that goes way back, I think it was to Benedict of Nursia, who said that there are really three Advents that we look at during the season of Advent.
Oh, uh-huh.
One of them is looking back and remembering the first coming of the Word of God, who became flesh, who became incarnate for us, who became one of us. And we look back and then during the season of Advent, we remember that he did that, and we look forward to the Christmas celebration of his first coming.
So the coming of the baby Jesus.
That's right.
All right.
The second is the looking forward to the second coming of Christ.
Right.
When he comes back triumphant in all of his glory at the end of the age. So we look with longing and expectancy towards that, because he promised and we know that he is coming. So that's the second of the three Advents.
Okay, so first coming of Christ, second coming of Christ. Where does he get the third coming?
The third coming that Benedict talks about is the advent of Christ into our own hearts. When he calls us and we respond to his call and we join into his story. And so Advent is really a time of meditating on what that means and how he continues to call us, and sometimes to call us out of the busyness of all of the rest of the things that are going on in December, and the preparations and the shopping and the cooking and the everything, but just to take some time out to be quiet and to meditate.
You know, it occurs to me that if not at Advent, when else in the year are we going to look at those really important what you just mentioned there are really important doctrines of the church. Jesus came in the long ago as a baby. He was enfleshed. God made human, dwelt among us, Emmanuel. Then our triumphant Jesus, who returned to the Father. We've been promised this same Jesus will come back and be triumphant over all. Those are really important themes. And if not in Advent, when is the church going to look at those?
You know, Chris, I was thinking about that earlier today, that Advent captures the past, the present, and the future.
Yes.
The sense of you know, looking back, of living out, walking out our baptism during this time, and then also that anticipation, that future forward look as well.
There's another way that we look at that too, and that Advent is a period in which time bends or right. folds. And so we have both ancient and future that bend together and come and visit us now in the present. Mm. It's one of those times when we really can say the road to the future leads through the past. Mm.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with two of the, actually all three of us are here, pastors of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of the church. We also have in the studio today Dr. Rick Ashe. He's our pastor of intergenerational discipleship. And Ellen Kohler, she's our pastor of worship and liturgy. And we're talking about Advent. Did you know that there was an ages-old season that goes before Christmas? And it's purposefully not Christmas yet. And we've been talking about some of the important theological reasons why it's good to wait and to have this season of preparation. Ellen, one that occurred to me while you were talking was, I often say to our folks that Advent is to Christmas as Lent is to Easter. In other words, we have a few weeks to contemplate what it means that Jesus was enfleshed. To contemplate what it means that Jesus is our Emmanuel, God with us. And in the early church, they would have used the season of Advent in a similar way that they would have used the season of Lent. It would have been a time of fasting, of penitence, mm-hmm. of prayer, of reflection. And that's why in the third Sunday of Advent, though I guess I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, there is a break from that fasting and we have a Sunday of joy. But do you think much about Advent as being a prep for Christmas in the same way that Lent is a sort of a prep for Easter?
I think I do. I was mentioning just a moment ago that Advent is a time to think not only of the first and second coming of Christ in the ways that we normally think about them, but of what it means that Christ has come into our own lives. And in Lent, we follow a kind of a similar journey into the mystery of Christ, only at that point we walk along with him in his path towards the cross, and we contemplate what that also means in our lives. So it's a very wonderful time to just think about what is this journey that is our walk of faith.
Rick, you're a dad, and you have two girls, and I'm curious to know about, and I guess I'm putting you on the spot, but I'm going to anyway. I'm curious to know what kind of impact Advent has in your own family life. You mentioned some things, I think, earlier, and I know I've heard you talk about this before, but you guys really do think about Advent and observe an Advent in your own home as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and for me and for us, it's kind of a time of accelerated discipleship. There is this sense of coming. There is this sense of longing, of waiting, but I also think of the idea that's also kind of linked into Lent of wake up, like step on the spiritual accelerator pedal. Mm. This is a time to get, you know, to quicken the pace, that we're kind of coming out of that ordinary time. And at the very end, I love that we end the Christian year with Christ the King, and we just slam forward into this sense of recognizing, you know, what we just talked about, the past, the present, and the future, that the victory of Christ is won through his life, death, resurrection, and ascension. So for us, there's some focused scripture reading. We talk a lot about the themes of Advent, and this year we're actually even doing some lawn decorations. We're doing Advent candles as part of our like out in front, and I've already had a couple of interesting conversations with some of our neighbors about Advent and these, you know, yeah, we're making candles for the, you know, for the front lawn. And so I'm just trying in any way possible to draw my kids into the story in some real tangible ways that are both fun but will allow them to really understand that we're not just sitting around waiting for Christmas morning, you know, that there is an actual intentionality of these 4 weeks of the Advent season.
As you were talking, I'm thinking, you know, that's a neat thing to do at home and at families, and there's nothing liturgical in the worst sense of the word about that, or dry or stuffy or boring. I love the way that ancient future faith is having a resurgence among evangelicals of all stripes, and recovering the Christian year, and maybe even especially Advent, is an easy thing we can do in our own denominational context to refocus, to get the focus off of the materialism and the lights and the noise and the stuff, and start getting back to some essential tenets of the faith. Advent's a perfect time to do that, I think.
I think it's interesting that Advent really has with it this component of being a time of preparation.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just mentioned the idea of marking time. We talk about the liturgical year and marking time according to God's calendar a lot around Epiclesis. And Rick, you just mentioned we come out of ordinary time, which is this long season of Pentecost, where we really look at God's work through his church and especially through the power of the Holy Spirit and how we walk through our lives and how God directs the church and directs us individually. And then we come to the end of the liturgical year. We've got Christ the King Sunday and we start the cycle over again with looking at Advent. Then we go into 2 weeks of Christmas and then six or so weeks of Epiphany and then Lent and Easter and Pentecost, and we mark time according to God's time and God's story.
You're listening to an interview with Dr. Rick Ashey, Dr. Ellen Kohler. My name is Chris Alford, and we're the pastors at Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. As always, please zip over to the website. We'd love to have you check us out, and more importantly, we'd love to have you worship with us. We meet at 10:30 on Sunday mornings in the Sacramento area, and we'd love to have you. Before we sign off today, guys, we probably ought to talk just a little bit about the, what would you call it, the layout or the calendar of Advent. And I want to make sure that we get this in. Folks, we want to invite you to a service of Advent lessons and carols. What in the world does that mean? Well, we read scripture, we hear some inspiring words from the church fathers, and we sing Advent carols. Yes, there is such a thing as an Advent carol. And it's a wonderful opportunity for you to see a little bit about what ancient future faith worship looks like. So that's Sunday night, December 3rd at 6 p.m. And Ellen, that happens to be the very first Sunday in Advent. There are four of them. And we light the candle of hope. Talk a little bit about that Sunday.
Well, that is the first Sunday of Advent. There are four. And sometimes we refer to this Advent season as a journey because it really takes us through these weeks of preparation and anticipation of the first coming of Christ, the second coming of Christ, and the third coming of Christ on which we meditate, which we just talked about. So the first Sunday of Advent is hope. And we focus on the hope that is ours. And we know that hope in the biblical sense is not, oh, I would like this to happen, but I'm not really sure that it will. But in the biblical sense of hope, it's there's a promise, and we know that our hope will not be in vain. And so we focus on the promises of God. So that's the first week of Advent.
The second week follows, and we often focus on that particular Sunday on John the Baptist and his call that there is one coming whose sandals he's not worthy to untie. Then comes around the third Sunday, the Joy Sunday, Gaudete Sunday. You may have noticed, folks, that an Advent wreath will have four candles, and oftentimes the four candles that surround the central candle, and the central candle is white. That's the Christ candle, and it will get lit on Christmas Eve. But the four candles that surround the central candle are often purple. One of them, though, in some traditions is pink or rose color. That's for the third Sunday, the Gaudete or Joy Sunday. Rick, tell us why. And by the way, when you did your display outside, you were talking about for your neighborhood on, in your yard. Did you do the thing where one of the candles is a different color? And if so, why? And tell us why.
Yeah, so there are three purple candles and there's one pink for that third week, the week of joy. And historically in the ancient church, that week was reserved as kind of a break from the discipleship and the intense training and preparation, actually leading towards a lot of individuals being baptized after the Christmas season. And so this was just a time to ease back, to enjoy, to celebrate, as opposed to the intense discipleship.
And taking a break from fasting, as I understand it.
Yeah, fasting.
Dr. Kohler, the fourth week, at least at Epiclesis, is the candle of peace in our tradition. Anything strike you about that particular week? The pace of all of this begins to really slow, at least in my mind, as and become more gentle as we approach.
In my mind, it becomes a little bit more settled. On that fourth Sunday, we generally focus on Christ as the Prince of Peace. So just before Advent starts, we've seen him as the King, the reigning King. And by the end of the Advent season, we're focusing on Christ as the Prince of Peace, who rules and reigns in our hearts as the King of Peace. So we've gone through this wonderful journey of the Sunday of hope, the Sunday of love, in which we often sing the wonderful Advent carol or hymn, Love Divine, All Joys Excelling, Joy of Heaven to Earth Come Down, which did you know that was an Advent hymn?
Now you do. Yeah, we all do now.
So hope, love, joy, and peace are the four Sundays of Advent.
Yeah, and that's different in different traditions, but at Epiclesis, that's the way we do it. Mm-hmm. Folks, the way the calendar falls this year is Christmas Eve is also the fourth Sunday of Advent, so that does a little funny thing with the calendars. But we have put together, or at least are working on it right now, a devotional booklet that talks about what in the world Advent is all about, and then gives some things to think about on each of the weeks of Advent, the scriptures that we're pondering, and some of these concepts we've been talking about. And we will have that available on the Epiclesis website, epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. So I'd love you to zip over and take a look at those resources. Best of all, we'd love to have you join us for worship. So think about joining us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. So the season of Advent, let's sum up, guys. There are several things there that we talked about today. I'll name one and then you jump in. So Advent is a season of waiting and thinking about slowing down, right? Longing for something. What else?
Advent is a time of thinking about the coming of Christ, his first coming, his promised second coming, and his coming into our hearts.
That's good. Yeah, good. What else?
I think from a discipleship perspective and looking at the scriptures themselves that are set up for each of the weeks, there's a sense of repentance. There's a call to respond, to make ourselves right in preparation. But there's also this theme of God's faithfulness within that, within the Isaiah text, within John and Mary as key figures during Advent. So a sense of our repentance based on this idea that God is faithful.
So Christian families could really take a cue from Advent and do some discipleship training in their homes, right? When the rest of the world is dashing around and thinking about filling out those Christmas lists, the Christian community says, nope, let's wait. Let's slow down a little bit. Let's think about Jesus' coming. Let's prepare for his second coming. Let's concentrate on longing and the hope and joy and the peace that we have when we slow down a little bit. Ellen?
Well, I was just also thinking, we'd mentioned that it's a time of remembering that we are countercultural. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we don't celebrate. And it doesn't mean that we don't have joy in the most wonderful time of the year. It's just that we understand Advent in a different way. And thus we understand Christmas in a bit different way too.
Mm. Because it's beginning to look a lot like Advent, right?
That's right.
I think Advent is probably my most favorite time of the year. I love the Advent carols, and it's always fun to sing that wonderful theology that we find there.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dr. Ellen Kohler, Dr. Rick Ashey, I'm so glad for you taking a few minutes to be in the Ancient Future Faith Radio studios today. Bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's always wonderful to get together with you and talk about these things we all love so much.
Mm-hmm. We do, and we want to invite you folks, remember to put on your calendars that Advent service of lessons and carols. It's on Sunday night, December 3rd at 6 p.m. It's at the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can find all the information on the website, but we'd love to have you come take a look at what this thing is called Ancient Future Faith and learn a little bit more about Advent. Until we gather again from Dr. Rick and Dr. Ellen, let me remind you that surely the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church. And they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hey folks, Pastor Chris here with one more quick word. One of the most special parts of the whole Christian year is when the new year comes along at Advent, the time where we celebrate not only Christ's first coming as a baby, but when we also anticipate his second future coming as a conquering king. I'm hoping you'll join us for worship in Advent on Sunday mornings in December at 10:30, but also join us for a very special and unique service of carols, candlelight, and communion on Christmas Eve at 5 p.m. Find all the information on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.